Fluency instruction makes great sense in middle school and for many kids in high school, too. I'm not trying to convince you not to teach this. I think you should, but I want you to have a realistic idea of what you're trying to accomplish and for whom. Welcome to Shanahan on Literacy, the site where we believe there is nothing more noble than to teach somebody to read. I'm your host, Tim Shanahan, and today we're going to talk about fluency instruction. Now, like a lot of these podcasts, this one was instigated by a question from a teacher just like you. She was curious about fluency instruction in the middle and high school, and we're going to get beyond that a little bit today. I've titled this one, Why Deal with Fluency Instruction in the Middle and High School or Ever? Here's what the letter said. I just read your piece on how you would schedule reading instruction. While it was helpful, I'd love to hear more about what that looks like at the middle school level. Specifically, how much do you think it's the middle school English teacher's responsibility to cover fluency? I recently attended a Science of Comprehension symposium, and Doug Lemoff shared fantastic practical videos of secondary teachers doing wonderful whole group fluency work. How much time should be devoted to fluency? We have an 80-minute ELA block. Well, here's my response. Great question. I'm pleased to have secondary school teachers asking, what do we do with fluency, instead of the traditional rejection of the idea at those grade levels. Secondary grade teachers have rarely embraced the idea of teaching fluency. There are many reasons for this rejection. First, it seems so elementary and fundamental. Secondary teachers want to focus on using reading to explore literature, social studies, science, not on developing basic reading skills. Second, many teachers have experienced fluency pushback from their students. I'm often told that teens and tweens balk at public oral reading. They just won't do it, they tell me, and I believe them. Often these teachers even sympathize with the kids due to their own bad memories of such reading experiences when they were in school. Third, the idea that oral reading practice somehow improves silent reading ability seems dubious to many teachers, despite direct evidence that it does just that. That is, oral reading practice improves silent reading ability. Fourth, many of these teachers have no idea of how to teach fluency. Most view it as some form of round-robin reading, which they have usually been criticized for in the past. Can't please everyone. There are many excuses for not teaching fluency. Consequently, this topic is going to be dealt with in two parts. The first part will explain why fluency instruction is essential in middle school and high school, and the follow-up podcast will explore what fluency instruction should look like and where it fits in a secondary school curriculum. So, the first issue to address is whether fluency instruction even makes sense in middle school and high school. Oral reading fluency and reading comprehension are closely correlated, and kids make gains in fluency each school year. But let's drill down a bit into those statistics. Looking at the fluency of primary grade kids, we see that it is a fast-developing skill with little learning regression and with high correlations with reading comprehension. Fluency norms reveal that kids average annual gains of about 36 words correct per minute each year. The average first grader starts at about 29 words correct per minute and ends with 60 words correct per minute. In grade 2, that average child progresses from 50 to 100 words correct per minute, while the third graders go from 83 to 112 words per minute. Since most kids get 36 weeks of schooling, that means on average, over those first 3 years, students gain about 1 word per week in fluency. That actually understates the growth rate, since the first grade norms don't begin until mid-year. Their 31-word gain happens over only 18 weeks, not 36. It's also informative to consider summer regression during the primary grades. At the end of grade one, average students end the year with 60 words correct per minute. But they're somewhat lower, 50 words correct per minute, when they return in the fall. A 10-word drop. Similar regression is apparent in grades 2 and 3, with drops of 17 and 18 words respectively. Kids retain 60% of their annual progress and appear to recover those losses pretty quickly. In these early years, oral reading fluency is clearly implicated in reading comprehension with correlations about 0.70. In fact, in some studies, they're even higher. If we could get all the students up to the highest levels of fluency, we'd reduce the reading comprehension variation by about 50%, which would be sizable improvement. Teaching fluency in the primary grades is a no-brainer, I think. Kids grow quickly in fluency, they tend to maintain those gains, and their reading comprehension depends heavily on how fluently they can read. Not surprisingly, experimental studies show that elementary fluency instruction improves reading achievement for both normally progressing and struggling readers at those early grades. The statistics look somewhat different by middle school. The average annual gains in fluency in grades 6 through 8 are only about 17 words correct per minute, less than half the growth that the primary kids experience. The regression numbers are disheartening, too. Middle school students are less likely to maintain those gains over the summer. The average fluency regression is about 12 words correct per minute during the summers of those years. The young'uns regressed about 40% each year, while the teens and tweens lost about two-thirds of their gains. Slower growth, greater reversion. The correlations with reading comprehension are less promising as well. By grade 8, that correlation drops to about 0.50. Fluency explains about 25% of the variation in middle school reading comprehension, about half that evident in the primary grades. There's one more important difference that should be considered. Oral reading fluency tends to top out around 175 to 200 words correct per minute. That's about as fluent as anyone gets, including the best readers. Once kids reach that range, there's no reason to think additional teaching will be beneficial. I looked at the fluency numbers for the 90th and 75th percentiles across these middle school grades. In the middle primary grades, even the kids who reach those high percentiles are not yet in that 175 to 200 words correct per minute range. There may be a handful of young readers who max out on fluency, but very few. Primary grade teachers can be confident that all or almost all their students will benefit from fluency instruction. In grades 6 through 8, the kids who reach the 90th percentile in fluency do well enough that there would be no need for additional fluency teaching. Perhaps some early year work to ensure recovery of those summer losses is in order, but a significant number of middle school kids would no longer need fluency instruction. At grades 7 and 8, the averages for the 75th percentile are tantalizingly close to that target range too, suggesting that many of these students wouldn't benefit from more fluency instruction either. No wonder middle and high school teachers aren't thrilled about teaching fluency. Growth is slow and not likely to be obvious to either teachers or students. The gains often dissipate. Many of their students don't need any or much fluency support, and the payoffs of that support are likely to have relatively less of an impact on reading comprehension. Nevertheless, fluency instruction makes great sense in middle school and for many kids in high school, too. I'm not trying to convince you not to teach this. I think you should, but I want you to have a realistic idea of what you're trying to accomplish and for whom. What's my argument? Well, although gains are harder to discern, the norms show that real fluency progress can be made during those years. Likewise, there are many secondary students who don't need fluency work, but many more students perform in a range that would benefit from this teaching. It would be unwise to write off the bottom 80% of kids because the top 20% no longer would benefit. Finally, and most importantly, Fluency still explains 25% of reading comprehension variants. That means fluency work can make your kids better readers, a proposition supported by some experimental studies. Research reviews and meta-analyses have determined that fluency instruction can improve reading comprehension, though these analyses haven't separated the elementary and secondary data, unfortunately. But there are studies that show positive fluency and comprehension gains from fluency teaching. There are exceptions to this pattern, however. For example, in one study, kids aged 10 to 15 made considerable improvement in fluency, but their gains didn't transfer to reading comprehension. In another, comprehension effects were seen for some students, but not for others. There are a couple of possibilities for why that may be. One explanation considers the limitations of fluency instruction, what it can provide and what it can't, and the other compares the forms of fluency instruction that have and have not impacted comprehension. That information should help guide what we do with fluency in older students, the topic for the next podcast in this series. I hope this podcast has made a sufficiently realistic but persuasive case for teaching fluency in the middle and high school grades. Next time, we'll explore what that teaching should look like. Well, that's going to be all I have to say about fluency today. If you would like a written copy of this, you should go to the Shanahan on Literacy website. There's a blog posting, Why Deal with Fluency Instruction in the Middle and High School or Ever. This will post the same time that this podcast is dropping on June 27th, 2026. One of the benefits of the written version is you can get those research papers that are cited throughout this presentation. In fact, there were 17 such references, so this is particularly rich with data. Those videos that Doug Limoff had posted that the teacher who wrote to me had mentioned, there's a link to that so that you'll be able to take a look at how his teachers are teaching fluency. And with that, I'm going to thank Greg Johnson, our sound engineer, for making this listenable for you. And thank you for tuning in. I look forward to seeing you up the road a piece.